We're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. The King James Version. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in your word today. Lord, we are so blessed. The bountifulness we have of your word, dear God. Access that we have of your word. So that we don't have to be people who don't know where we're going, don't know your will, but we can know exactly what's on your heart. So, Father, I pray, Father, as we go through your word today, Lord, that we get a good picture of what you want us to have and to do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Welcome this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. I won't be long before you today, but I just trust that the Holy Spirit will just lead in such a way that we'll get a word from God today. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Here we have an illustration in Matthew chapter 8 of a man coming to be healed by Jesus. He said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And then the scripture tells us that Jesus put his hand out and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be thou clean. You know, when I spent some time looking up this disease, I had an article that I looked through. It was called Biblical Leprosy, Shedding the Light on Disease That Shuns, by Dr. L. Dillon. And what I read there, I'm going to read a couple of things that he put there. He says, patients with leprosy experiencing disfigurement of the skin and bones, twisting of the limbs, curling of the fingers to form the characteristics of a claw, facial changes include thickening of the outer ear and collapsing of the nose, tumor-like growths called lepromas may form on the skin and in the respiratory tract, and the optic nerve may deteriorate, and the largest number of deformities develop from loss of pain sensation due to extensive nerve damage, which they lose feelings in their limbs. For instance, an inattentive patient can pick up a cup of boiling water without flinching. Leprosy destroys nerve endings that carry pain signals. Therefore, patients with advanced leprosy experience a total loss of physical pain. And when these people cannot sense touch or pain, they tend to injure themselves or be unaware of injury caused by an outside agent. In fact, some leprosy patients have had their fingers eaten by rats in their sleep because they were totally unaware of it happening, and the lack of pain receptors could not warn them of the danger. Well, how was leprosy treated in those days? In the days of our Lord, leprosy sufferers had to leave their homes and families and live together with other sufferers on the outside of the town. They would have to scavenge for food. They were forbidden to have a contact with people who did not have disease, and they had to ring a bell and shout out loud, unclean, if anyone approached them. They could not go to the marketplace. They were forbidden to take part in worship. When I begin to examine these possibilities and these characteristics of this disease, I want to say to you that this leper showed great courage to breach the crowd in his condition. Yes, this leper did not lack the confidence to proceed to ask Jesus. See, I believe that this leper had a when he heard about Jesus and what he could do for him, he didn't want to lose an opportunity to change his condition. When we go back to the scripture again, it says that the leper came and worshiped, and he said, Lord, if thou were willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and he touched him. You imagine, would we touch a person in such a condition? We would shy away, we would pull back. And he says, look, I'm willing. Immediately, the leprosy was cleansed. 1 John 5 and 14 and 15 says this. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. I read that to tell you that faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. See, up to obtain from God, we must approach God with faith. But how can we approach God unless we are confident it is his will for us? Hebrews 11 verse 6 says this. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Now I am prefacing this lesson today because our pastor, when he will return, will be discussing and be talking about faith in particular. He's going to talk about what is faith. Now, but today I'm emphasizing that we cannot begin to operate in faith without knowing his will.
That's right.
See, faith begins where the will of God is known. But how can we find the will of God? How do we determine his will? You see, when I look at this case of the leper, I believe he had an advantage that we didn't have, that we don't have today. You see, I believe he knew it was Jesus' will to heal him. You see, I believe his expression, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean," was being respectful and not demanding. He was just like the woman with the issue of blood. You see, because he knew by trekking and going where he was going was going to cause him great harm. He'd be cast out, who knows? They would have stoned him. He was not supposed to be around people. See, I believe Jesus was there actively healing people. He knew that Jesus and others were healed because Jesus was doing it in his vicinity. So he came forward to get what he was needing. And Jesus confirmed his faith by what he's saying. I am willing. He had an advantage being there with Jesus, seeing firsthand what Jesus has done for others. We don't have that vantage point. You see, Jesus is not having a healing revival down the block. We can't go and see Jesus in action. He was able to. But I am encouraged. Because I know that God wants us to know his will. He wants us to know his will. You know, when I look at John 15 and 15, and dealing with his relationship with the disciples, he said this, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends." Hallelujah. "For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known unto you." And then in 14:21, he says this. He exposes himself. He says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me, he'll be loved of my Father. And I will do what? I will manifest myself unto him." God, Jesus knows, and God wants us to know his will. Hallelujah. And then we read in John 16 and 13, it says this, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." Hallelujah. He don't want us to go the wrong direction. He don't want us to go into falsehood. He wants to know. He wants us to know his will. "But he will not speak of his own authority, but whosoever he hears, he will speak." Whatever he hears, he will speak. This is the Holy Spirit. "And he will tell you." He will tell you things to come. You see, Jesus reveals to us how we can get to know his will, even in this story in Matthew chapter 4, where we find Jesus in the temptation. You know, he went into the wilderness to fast for 40 days. He said, well, I read that scripture. I don't know. Where does it tell me that God's will, what God's will is? Well, let's look at it. Matthew chapter 4 says this. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And he answered him. He says, it is written. That's a clue right there. How do we know the will of God? It is written, praise God, man shall not live by bread alone. Our desire is to live for God. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Is that your desire today? Yes. You can say, it's my desire. Hallelujah. Your desire is to live for God. Amen? Yes. But Jesus qualifies this and says, man shall not live by bread alone, which means that you don't live just by what you've been eating. Come on. You don't live by what you put down your throat only. You are much more complicated than that. God has created a being that's tripartite, soul, body, and spirit. Much more needs to happen. He says, but you live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus says to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, if you're going to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, what comes out of his mouth is his will. Yes. Hallelujah. The word of God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You will find God's will in his word. Yes. Praise God. You cannot begin to have faith without God's word. You will not have confidence without God's word. Hallelujah. In that, I want you to beware of the Martha syndrome. Who's Martha? Martha had a sister Mary. Let's turn quickly to Luke chapter 10. I hope those scriptures are there. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Look what it says here. It says, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary. And what was Mary doing? Who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted. Hello? Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him, Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? And therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part. What was Mary doing? Mary was at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word. Hearing the word of God. Sometimes we get so distracted. The word of God takes so much second, third, fourth place. Oh, don't get me wrong. I know what it is to get up at 4:30 in the morning. Trying to get a meal together so you can go to work. And yes, you really have a desire to read some word. But it takes an hour and a half to get that pot on and get that those vittles cooked so you can get out. And sometimes you say, well, I'll get it. You know, I'll get to it later. We get distracted. And the word of God doesn't become preeminent. The word of God doesn't become important. The word of God is not first place. But Jesus said to her, Mary has chosen one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part. And what's the part of this good part? He says, which will not be taken away from her. The word that you get will not be taken away from you. Hallelujah. You will keep that word that you get. Those times that you spend before God, and nobody knows that you're doing that. and you spend just wanted to hear something from God, and he begins to send in your spirit to say something to you that makes a big difference in your step for that day. No one can take that from you. Glory to God. That encouragement you get from the Holy Spirit that tells you you can push just a little bit more. You can go far, far, far today. You can continue to move on today. When everything around you seems to be in turmoil. Hallelujah. Praise God. We want to be ready to exercise faith. We cannot do it without God's word, which gives us the confidence because we know his will. We need our Bibles. We do. We need our Bibles. Praise God. Psalms 119 verse 130 says this, the entrance of thy words gives light. You confused? Get God's word. It gives understanding to the simple. Psalms 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. His word. His word. Praise God. I'm reading an article by Pastor Chuck Swindoll. One of his devotionals. He has an Insight for Today devotional. And I was reading specifically December 26th. And he put it this way. He says, God has placed his word in our hands and allowed it to be translated into our tongue. Both were determined by God's will. So we could have a much more objective set of guidelines to follow than our dreams, hunches, and feelings. 66 books filled with precepts and principles. And better, we know his word. And more clearly, we know his will. You know, the Bible has been translated Sister Abel's going to hand out something to you that I'm going to get to that I need to show you today. The Bible has been translated, full Bible, in 756 languages, the full Bible. And the New Testament has been translated into 1,726 languages. And then there's portions that have been of like 1,274 other portions covering the full Bible, 6 billion people, 835 billion people, 468 million people. A total of 3,756 languages has at least some scripture. And when we look at it, 7.3 billion up to about 98% of all people. Now these statistics come from 2024, the Global Scripture Access of the Wycliffe Global Alliance. So God has moved men and women to translate his word, to get it out so that we can read it. In the Philippines, I don't think they read in the King James. Okay? They have their Bibles translated for them. Because it's God's desire that every man will know his will. God's desire. So, Pastor Swindoll said this. He says that there are some precepts, right? He says there are some principles. Now, when we talk about a precept you find in the Word of God, some statements that appear in the Bible that are specific, that are black and white, truths that take all guesswork out of what's God's will. There are some scriptures that tell us what God doesn't like and what he likes. Specifically in the Word of God. And if you care about whatever God likes or doesn't like, you need to read the scriptures. And you will know what he likes. It's not enough to say, well, I'm saved. I love God. But you could be messing it all up, displeasing him because you don't know what he likes and what he don't like. So, and like for instance, give me an example. 1 Thessalonians 5:15-18, it says, See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. These are specific. They're the stated will of God. Then he has principles so that we can be able to know how to act in certain situations. It says, but the principles, they may not be exactly a do this or do that. And they cover some of the gray areas that you are not sure what you should be doing. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 can illustrate that. You may be going through some things, but the Lord gives you a principle. He says, be anxious for nothing. Verse 6. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. But I would add one more thing that Pastor Swindoll didn't say. I say that when you read the Word of God, you begin to know His passion. You begin to know His passion. When we embrace God's Word through our Bibles, we gain His passion. We pick up God's heartbeat. We begin to be interested in what God is interested in. Hallelujah. We begin to know, like it says in 2 Peter 3 and 9, it says this, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. That's His passion. He's long-suffering. He's dealing with us. He's come to us and told us to do certain things. We've said no, but He's long-suffering. Hallelujah. He's long-suffering. He gives us a chance to change our mind. God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad for that. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? He gives us a chance to change our mind and realize that He knows the proper way to direct you. Hallelujah. That's exciting. Because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you receive this card I just handed out, and hopefully online we're sending a link to the actual document that this came out of. The American Bible Society and the Barnard Research Group have been studying the state of the Bible from 2011 all the way through 2024. When I say the state of the Bible, is that how is the Bible received? How is the, are people reading it? Are people grasping it? Is it making a difference in people's lives? So, I provide this chart for you. Let me just read something they said from their study. He says, since 2011, our team, American Bible Society at Barnard Research Group, has worked alongside our friends at Barnard, to track the state of the Bible, representing one of the largest data sets on how a population perceives and engages the Bible. They call it the Bible Use Survey. Whether daily, weekly, or 3 to 4 times a year, is slightly down from last year. We designate those who interact with Scripture at least 3 or 4 times a year, apart from the services at church, which means they open their Bible outside of church, as Bible users. Mm-hmm. Amen. We're Bible users. Amen? Mm-hmm. Okay, glory to God. Using the Bible might seem like strange terminology, but people connect with the Bible in different ways these days. Some listen to the Bible recordings of scripture songs, while others do online searches or use app devotionals. They are also formats for those with impairments of sight or hearing. We ask about using the Bible so we don't miss any of these interactions. So they're trying to get a real composite of people who are trying to access the Word of God. Amen. These apps and the Bible is so available, so much access to the Word of God. It's so much access. I've gotten a point in my life that in the busyness, the working 9 to 5, 8 to 4, 9 to 7, whatever it is, 40 hours a week, I've relegated myself a lot to my digital Bible. Sometimes I need the Word of God, and yes, it's 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, but I need the Word of God, so I got to put the head over my cover over my head so I don't disturb my wife, and open up that phone and say, let me just read something here. I need the Word of God. Praise God. See, the purpose is to fill yourself up the Word of God in such a way that when it comes time that you need the Word of God, you're not trying to build it up at the time you need it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're getting the Word inside you so that when you need a breakthrough and you need to command, you need to take care of some things, you need to pray scriptures, you have it all inside. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I was talking to Pastor Christy this morning, talking about every time we prepare for the Word, we were talking about how, you know, by the time we get ready to finish our messages, it was probably like 2 o'clock in the morning or the night before. And it's because that we've been in the Word so much that when the Lord starts speaking to us about what to say, it's like a fire hose. The Word of God is brought to us almost like a fire hose. We get this verse. I wish I can give you every verse that the Lord put in my spirit for today. Can't do it. But I enjoy the benefit.
Yes, amen.
Because I've spent time. Amen. Glory to God. Isn't that exciting? Amen. Praise God. But I want to point something out to you. It says, look here. Using the Bible might seem like strange terminology. Bible recorders they use. All formats. A few years ago, half of Americans were Bible users. 50%. Now, if you look at this grid, I want you to look at the time around this pandemic. Now, I want you to see if I can explain this chart to you. In 2020, they actually surveyed 123 million people, knowing that there are over 350 million people in the United States. Mm-hmm. They actually got a whole survey sample, which is over a third in the United States, of people who are 18 and over. And it says that of those 123 million people in 2020, there was 48% of them were Bible users. Then you move to 2021. Wow, seems exciting. Goes up 2%, seems 50%. And in fact, if you look at from 2011 all the way to 2021, it's always hovering around 48, 50, 53, 50 down. Yeah. But in 2022, after the pandemic's over, they were able to get surveyed 103 million people. These are million people, you know. And only 40% in 2022. And 2023, only 39% were Bible users. And they just put out the posting for 2024. And what does it say there? Only 38%. 38%. You know, perhaps you hope that the drop of the Bible use reported in 2022 temporarily was a blip as a result of the pandemic, and that we would soon bounce back 2 years later. We see that the course correction has not yet occurred. But we declare today that the course correction has begun in us. Amen. Hallelujah. It has begun in us. Amen. Can we say that? Has it begun in us? Amen. The course correction has begun in us. We find that the Word of God is important to us. We need to feed it to ourselves, feed it to our children. Don't be shy. People say, well, I want the child to make up his own mind. That's garbage. So while everybody else is indoctrinating my child from school to everything they watch, you telling me that I'm going to stand back and let them make up their mind? That's not happening. I need to give them the Word of God and give it to them plentiful. They need the Word of God. I need to take responsibility as parents. We are talking to older adults here. The children and the youth are upstairs. We need to give ourselves to the Word of God. We need to be like Jeremiah in verse 15 and 16. We need to say, your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Glory to God. Jesus states once again, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Here's a question for you. How can we disconnect from God's word and thrive in God's power? How can we? How do can we disappear from God's word and thrive in his power? It just can't happen. It can't happen. Ecclesiastes says this in verse 8 and 4. It says this: where the word of a king is, there is power. Glory to God. And who may say to him, what are you doing? When you got God's word inside of you, the devil can never question you. He can't question you. Why are you believing for that house? Why are you believing for this? Why are you believing for that? No, I got God's word inside of me.
Yeah,
I'm standing on the word of God. I know what I'm going to do next. Glory to God. Why? Because God's made it clear. I've been in his word. He's spoken to me. Glory to God. Psalms 138 verse 2 says that I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Glory to God. We talking about the name of Jesus. God has glorified his word even above his name. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And you cannot know the will of God without the word. Praise God. I'm going to close up. Praise God. You know I don't talk long. Okay. You know, when we hear a sermon like this, there is a couple of different reactions. Because sometimes we may focus on our shortcomings and where we may be living at this particular moment. But that's not my intention. And that's not the pastor's intentions. That's not what we're wanting you to do, to go hear a sermon and feel condemned. Because there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Right.
You don't walk in condemnation.
That's right.
That's not where we want you to be. We want you to focus solely. We want to share this because we want you to see what we'd like to see in you. I want to illustrate this point in this last story. In John chapter 4, we find the woman of Samaria sitting by the well. Jesus comes and ministers unto her, asking for water to drink. And we know the story. By the time he finished with her, he done read her mail, told her who she is, told her that she has been having five husbands when she's, you know, and all this thing there. And she changes the subject. He said, you know, well, I know we worship at this mountain. And Jesus says something opposite of that. And what begins to happen is that she's kind of changing the subject because Jesus done really read her mail. But I don't want to focus on that part of it. What I'm going to focus on is after she realizes who Jesus is, and now her life has changed, and she's going to testify on what Jesus has done for her. And in verse 39 of John 4 and 39, she says, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. She said to them, he told me all that I ever did. Of course, if somebody can come to you frankly and be able to say, read your mail, tell you this is who you are and what you've done, yeah, I think you'll stop and want to listen, truly. And so the Samaritans had come to him. So after hearing her, the Samaritans came to talk to him themselves. And they urged him to stay with them. Glory to God. They want to stay by and be like Mary. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And hear the word of God. Glory to God. You get excited about that? Wow. You know we're going to have that opportunity. Woo! Don't you know that? We'll be able to sit at the foot of Jesus and ask him those questions we have here that we don't have the answers for. Glory to God. But so what happened? Jesus did that. He stayed there 2 days. Glory, man. Wow. And many more believe because of his own word. And then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. There are many Christians who are living off the word of our pastor because he's preached it. And you say, oh, what's the difference? That's the preached word of God, and it's good. It'll keep you correct. But I'm going to give you an illustration. My son, my oldest son, is in entertainment, and he was spending time touring through Italy. This is the last illustration I'm going to give. And he was there performing in a drama troupe, you know, he's a professional. And they were doing the production of Hair. He was playing Hood and Hair. You know anything about that thing? And they were actually having the lines in Italian, which he had to learn Italian, enough for the script. And they sung all the songs in English. And he was going all throughout Italy. And there came a time where he got lost. Here is a young black man in Italy, no control of the language, and he's lost. I dare tell you, that was a very scary time. He couldn't call mom or dad. Right? He had to cry out to God because he thought he would never get back to where he was supposed to be. So he did so. Of course, he's had his daddy's admonition over the years. He's heard the word of God. But most of the time, my sons we have been their youth leaders, you know, and all different things as far as ministry is concerned. But like your children, they say, well, yes, I believe the Lord. But that relationship is still based on the fact that they've been adhered to you all this time. But he cried out to God in his very tough time. Because anything could have actually happened to him. He could have been robbed. Anything could happen. And he watched God take him from a lost place and bring him to safety. When he shared that with me, I rejoiced. Because at that particular time, I saw that the God that he saw through me was no longer as that I believe because what you said. He now believes because what God has done for him, who he has now acknowledged and is his Savior. And from this point on, and that point on, he spent so much time preaching at me. If I say something wrong, he would just, you know, when I get on the phone with him, he's in Taiwan now. He would say something, well, you know, Dad, you need to, and I'm like, whoa, that blesses my soul. That is the love, what the pastors want to see. Not only do you adhere to the word that he has given to you, but you begin to develop yourself in such a way that you begin to know God for yourself, and you begin to say, because God has spoken to me, God has said some things to me, I've sat in his word, he has made it very real to me, and you begin to walk in that realness, and you begin to be able to operate in that realness, and you begin to find yourself in a place where God is your God. Not just the God of the pastor. Not just the God of your mom. Not just the God of your dad. He is your God. Glory to God. That is the happiest time for a pastor. To be able to see you grow and get to a place where you are not, you say, well, pastor, I'm okay. Comes to you and say, how you doing? Instead of some sob story, you say, well, I believe God. I'm moving on. Yeah, I got a couple things I'm dealing with. But the word of God is real to me just as it is real to you. Praise God. That gets exciting. That's where the pastor wants us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And just like I say, when you read the word, I have to come back to this because I almost forgot this thought. When you read the word of God, you know his passion. This passion will tell you that you want to do what God tells you to do. You want to do what he tells you to do. This is a passion that comes upon you that tells you, that doesn't have to tell you to get up early in the morning and come down and help the church. Amen. Don't have to tell you. Nobody has to tell you. Nobody has to tell you to come down, pick up some chairs and do different things. Nobody has to do that because the passion of God, I know that if I don't show up, it might not get done. Pastor and I always have the same attitude when we walk through these doors. We the first ones in. We don't sit around waiting for somebody to come to take this or that. We start the moving. If it be a chair, if it be a table, we start the moving. Hallelujah. If you come late, you just missed out of doing that wonderful job we just did.
That's right.
That's how we work. Hallelujah. If we're going to, if the signs need to be put out, we put the signs out. If the table needs to put up, we put the table out. Boy, I was up there, you told me to make a couple of errors and we're playing piano. I was tired. Because we know we have the passion of God inside of us. And we know how important it is to serve. And that's where our pastor wants us to be at. That we have such a genuine personal faith, got the passion of God inside of us.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Were you blessed by that word?
Yeah. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God. If you're watching today and you don't know Jesus, I want to give you the opportunity to know him. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that as God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's real simple. You believe in your heart and Jesus died for your sins, and you confess him as Lord and Savior, and you'll be saved. You're accepting his forgiveness by faith. You can do this by saying this simple prayer. You can pray it out loud where you are. Let's just repeat these words. It says, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died for my sins. And he was raised from the dead for me. Right now, I call him my Lord and my Savior. I receive his forgiveness. And I'm walking in the new life with him. Amen. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, you need to contact us. If you're on Facebook, please send us a message so we can get some materials to you to get started in your walk. Especially if you lack a Bible, we're going to get the Bible to you. You need the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. Okay, praise God. We can stand now. We're going to close. Praise God. Amen. Let's just thank the Lord for his word. Praise God. I hope you walk out of here with a new desire to be in his word. Amen. Yeah, you know. See, preachers got to stop preaching because what ends up happening, I can take you another hour. But the reality is this. If your body tells you not to, do it anyway. If your tiredness tells you not to, just put it on. Listen to it. You know, I got this wonderful thing. I downloaded the Bible and I put it, you know, on these new cars. You have this hard drive in your car. I got all the entire 66 books of the Bible. And so when we get in the car in the morning, my wife tells me, shut up. I want to hear the word. She clicks there and I just get happy just listening to the word of God. You know, you can go to James almost three times, like three or four times before you get to work. Man, you're going to get filled up. Make the Bible a priority, amen? Make it a priority. Because you can't give out what you don't have in. Glory to God, and you do want to give out, don't you? Amen, praise God. Father, we thank you, hallelujah, that you've been with us today. Glory to Jesus. And you have that closing? Praise God, amen, praise God. Yeah, see, we do this confession every week. You know, after a while you get to know these by heart. Praise God. Let's confess this together as we close. Amen. It says, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalms 121, verse 7 and 8. Praise God. Be blessed. Enjoy the rest of your day.